I just want to share with you a story about a long-standing community and academic partnership. My name is Angel Palermo, and I've been with this partnership nearly since the beginning. I want to acknowledge some HCAP members in the room, Mary Foley of Noganaya, who I've been with HCAP for a long time as well. I also have another community partner colleague in the room, Alma, who's from East Harlem, so it's great to see some familiar faces on the West Coast. So I'm going to share with you a few things, a story a little bit about HCAP. I want to talk about some strategies that we've learned over the past 13 years of how to prevent codependence on academia and share some critical factors and strategies that we've used over time and learned that would keep that have kept us going, and also share a little bit about some best practices and lessons learned. So let me share a little bit about HCAP. We actually started as a CDC Urban Research Center. We were funded in 99, to figure out what works in improving the health of urban populations. There were three funded at the time. The first was in Detroit, University of Michigan School of Public Health. The second was in Seattle with King County Department of Health. And the third was at New York City at the New York Academy of Medicine Center for Urban Epidemiologic Studies. And since our 13 plus years, we've actually now just become a solely incorporated organization and evolving into a 501c3 research, community-based research and policy organization, largely based in East Harlem. And so this is essentially what we've come up with in terms of how we view ourselves and our identity, starting as a traditionally funded community advisory board, which I'll speak about in a minute, to actually our own independent organization. I won't read it off the slide, but you can read here that we took a long time kind of coming up with the verbiage on figuring out who we were going to be after 13 years, and I'll say more about our timeline. This is our mission statement we recently revised about a year ago. We felt that, you know, we literally sat in the room of a vacant senior center of one of our partner organizations, and we had a potluck retreat because we have no money. We have no money. Even to this day, we have no money. But we're carrying out our own activities, and everybody brought something, and we had a retreat to figure out how we were going to survive and sustain and reinvent ourselves again. And it took a lot of time, but it was amazing reflection and conversation about what we felt was needed in East and Central Harlem. And primarily, it was about continuing to focus on what in the neighborhood adds and detracts from health, but also advocating for community-centered public health initiatives, implementing interventions that were driven and designed by community partners. We really believe in the CBPR approach and maintaining integrity around that, but most importantly, using that as a pathway to influence policy. And more than importantly, we believe in our partnership approach, and we want to be able to facilitate those types of approach, partnerships, because many of the agencies in the neighborhood are continually being engaged by academic institutions to work in partnerships. And quite frankly, there's a high level of vulnerability there, and our focus is entirely to be their coach, to reduce their vulnerability so that they become effective partners and ultimately become research-ready organizations. Our members are, we have a long-standing core of members that have been around for literally 13 years. We've even had members who passed away who are long-standing members. So we're very much a family, a work family, but we have representatives from a variety of organizations listed here. We very much believe in students and having sort of pulling together a dream team of influencing, in training, the social work, law, public health, and medical students so that they get it post in their postgraduate training and in practice. And so in East and Central Harlem, you know, when you talk to a few of us, even between Oganaya and Mary and Alma here, we're talking about, you know, 3-4 layers deep of agencies and organizations and coalitions that we're connected to. So we have a lot of multiple hats. This is just a quick sort of organizational structure. We meet on a monthly basis for 13 years, the second Tuesday from 12 to 2. And it's been amazing how we've kept it going. Just meeting is a sustainability, you know, evidence of sustainability. We created a structure called intervention work groups, which really are topic-based working subcommittees that carry out the CBPR process. And they work to get themselves funded, or if they're already funded, to sustain the work of the IWIG, which all together can carry out interventions. We have outcomes and products. Those circle back. They are disseminated and circle back to new ideas and so forth. So let me tell you about the strategies we've learned over time. And there are three that I want to emphasize. One is that you have to learn the hustle of academia. Over 13 years, we realized that there is a true game. There's a true game to academia. And I'll say a little bit more what that means. We also had to invest in the glue of the partnership. And we use this term in East Harlem in particular, that glue is what keeps people together, and how, you know, there are many longstanding, other longstanding coalitions in East Harlem in particular. And people say, well, how have you been around for 35 years or more? And it's because there's glue. And we've defined glue, and I'll share that definition, but you'll see over a timeline, if it wasn't for the glue, the partnership, we probably wouldn't be where we are right now. And then, of course, when you have been exposed and sort of learned research, you know, on the job, right, and realize what it takes to carry out research, and there's a process to it, that at some point you've got to figure out a way to transform that research capacity that you build into social and organizational change. And you know, we sat there after 13 years and said, well, what is our research portfolio informing in terms of policy and practice? So I'll say a little bit more about each. The hustle of academia is really being clear about, for us, what we learned over time, what CBPR is and what it isn't, and really being able to sort of detect when there's, you know, a lot of BS about what people, particularly the academic researchers who would work with us and say, oh, this is what we're trying to do and this is what we think we want to carry out, and call it a CBPR project. So we learned really well what it is and what it isn't. We learned about the spin and the grantsmanship and what goes into the grant writing process, and then, of course, how it really plays out. The research grant administration process, you know, packaging a grant, all the things it takes to put things together, and that is largely over the heads of community partners, but also being aware of performance products of academia. You know, we realize, oh, you're here to publish and get grants. We understand those are your performance products, but let's keep it very real and transparent why you're here. And if you're here to write a paper or write a grant, we're here, so in exchange, you're going to help us write testimony and hearing and help us translate this data into a powerful story so that we can leverage policy change. In terms of our second strategy, glue, this is what we have defined glue as. And this was formulated over time. It's probably always getting tweaked every time we look at it. But I have to say that it's something you have to sort of experience. You know, it's you kind of know it when you're in it. And so somebody had asked us to put it words around it, and this is the best we could do. So if you could take a look at that. And I would just say that this is our timeline of how we've survived over the last, what's happened to us over the last 13 years. You know, we've been defunded completely. With 6 months' notice, we decided to stick together in the face of no funding. We reinvented ourselves. We changed our name. We said we're not an advisory board, we're an action board. Then we changed our name again, and we said this is who we are. Then our primary academic partner left, and we said, oh yeah, so we're gonna really stand on our own. And so we tapped into all of our community partner resources, and everybody chipped in terms of keeping this organization together, because what we realized is that we need an organization or some group of a collective that is concerned about maintaining the integrity and of community-based work, but also the agencies that are really characterized as primary connect organizations in East and Central Harlem that are being tapped into all the time by research organizations, and they're not fully aware of what that takes and what that means. So I think without glue, we wouldn't have been able to deal with some of these challenges listed here around the transference of trust over time, you know, dealing with breakdowns in communication, and also holding each other accountable and calling each other out is very, you know, we're from New York, so we keep it very, like, straight from the hip. But our identity is real, right? Like, you want no one to tell you who you are. And so our identity was a big deal to us. And I have to say, in the second reinvention that we've just experienced the past 2.5 years has been really about we are a standalone organization, and HCAP is no longer tied to anybody else or a funder, and no one's got us by, you know, you can fill in the word. So the last strategy is also, I think, relevant to this. I think one of the most critical factors used to sustain partnership, and that's really about making sure that you are asking the policy questions at the same time you're asking the research questions. And honestly, it's only the community partners that really think about that. And I'll never forget Sister Mary, who's one of our partners, you know, I'm not in this for the sake of science. I'm in this, you know, for the sake of change. And so we always try to coach our community partners and agencies that are thinking about being involved in research to think about the policy questions at the same time. Policy with a big P and a little P. What's happening in the neighborhood, what's happening citywide. We also, you know, want you to, you know, using the partnership approach is a way to sort of share taxes. You know, we learned that there's a hustle to academia, but there's a hustle in community too. And so when you sort of really create the space to have an authentic conversation about that, you can really have some amazing things happen. And, you know, in another presentation, there's a lot of examples that HCAP can offer around doing that. We also, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. I think if we realized 13 years ago how we would pan out, we would have early conversations about sustainability from day one. So if you're thinking about being in a partnership with a research organization, think about sustainability immediately. So some of the best practices and lessons learned that I just wanted to share is that CVPR is not for everyone. So don't force it, and don't think that every researcher knows what that means and can be that. Community partners, get a coach. Get a coach. Connect with a seasoned community partner, representative organization. Elmer and I have often been coaches to many agencies across the country and community leaders who can tell you, like, you know what, you're being burned right now, and that doesn't work, and let me tell you how it's going to go. This is the probable, almost certain future if you don't handle that right now. Also, really ensuring that partnership is literally from beginning to end. You know, this is about long-term relationships. And if you're not one that can't handle being in a long-term relationship, that's a problem. So you got to experience being a partner from beginning to end, particularly in the research process. And then fundamentally, I think communities have the power. You know, and I think that's one of the number one conversations I always have. Is like, you have the data that is gold in academia. You got the keys to the kingdom. So hold on to them tight and be informed about what it means to share those keys. And I think at the end of the day, you know, Elmer introduced me to Dr. Palermo, but the truth is that, you know, I really believe, I self-identify as a community activist, researcher, and, you know, I only pursued a doctorate because it was inspired by the work of my community colleagues and this work. So I believe that, you know, doing this work is a conduit for developing community activist researchers, whether a PhD or not. It's amazing to see community organizers, community leaders really be able to become research ready and make things happen. So thank you, and I look forward to your questions.